And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on a football Friday with plenty to get to over the next few hours. Coming up, we'll get ready for all of the rivalry games this week. And of course, Clemson and South Carolina. Is this the year the Gamecocks can finally end the losing streak? Plus, we'll run through the games from yesterday in the NFL, preview the games upcoming this weekend, which rivalry games are the most important in college football over the next 36 hours. The most interesting games to watch this weekend, I'll give you my picks later on. Got plenty to do to get ready for a great weekend of football, which actually begins right now. Games are kicking off right now this afternoon. We'll also catch up with a couple of members who've been part of this rivalry before. Perry Orth will join us an hour from now to talk Gamecocks. LaVon Kirkland will join us 2 hours from now to talk Clemson as we get ready for the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow night. And a whole lot more throughout the afternoon as we get set to go on this football weekend. Appreciate you hanging with us as you're driving around, taking advantage of those Black Friday deals. Maybe you're traveling home, whatever it is you're doing, you're having that leftover turkey sandwich for lunch right now. Appreciate you hanging with us as we get ready for the weekend. You can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston. Or you can also send an email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or get to us online. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, just looking forward to this rivalry weekend, starting today, actually.
That's right, yeah. And you have your Arizona State sweatshirt on, so you're ready to go.
That's right, and hopefully they'll take down U of A today. They should.
Yeah, they better.
And then, of course, looking forward to both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State tomorrow in the Bedlam Series, as well as South Carolina and Clemson.
Yeah, some big games. We'll rank them in level of importance later on. And get ready for all the games this weekend. We also have some Black Friday correspondents out there who we will check in with to see how things are going on this Black Friday. Maybe a little different. I know with the pandemic, right, we're missing everything still. We have a shortage of everything. And nowadays with the online shopping anyways, Black Friday, I'm sure you'll see some crazy videos today. We'll check in with our correspondents throughout the afternoon to see what the latest is around here. But let me start with this. Of course, we have to get ready for the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow. Of all the rivalry games, and many of them carry a lot of interest this weekend, the one we're most focused on, South Carolina and Clemson. Now, when you entered this season, you knew that you had, based off of expectations, Clemson over here, South Carolina all the way over here. They were staying more than 6 feet apart. Clemson was supposed to be a playoff team. South Carolina coming off 2 wins, first-year head coach. Their win total was 3.5. Now, as we head into this game, after we've played an entire season, have we gotten to the point now where that gap has closed? Have these two teams evened out? Have they gotten to the point where you believe South Carolina can actually win this game tomorrow? When you compare these two teams, Clemson obviously has the better record coming in. On paper, they have the better roster. Now, when you say record, well, they're in the ACC, South Carolina's in the SEC. That's a fair argument. When you compare strength of schedule, and it depends where you look. Every website will give you something different for strength of schedule. But when I looked at, I think it's Team Rankings Guru for their strength of schedule, and I like how they do it. They have South Carolina at number 38 in the country, Clemson at 43. friend of the show, Dave Bartu, who I reference more than anybody. He also has Clemson for his strength of schedule, and he's really good with the analytics. He has Clemson in the top 40. So, no, it's not the SEC, but it's really not very far behind. And they enter with the better record. Now, both teams are playing better here over the past month. You're feeling better about Clemson now than you were heading into October. You're feeling better about the Gamecocks now than you were in October. But as you look at the two teams, compare how they've played of late. Clemson has won four in a row, and they have scored at least 30 points in all four games. The offense was a real issue. They couldn't score a lot of points. Now, they haven't gone up against very good defenses the last 2 weeks, but the offense has looked much better. Four straight victories for Clemson, playing better football, looking like the Clemson we were anticipating seeing this year this past Saturday finally against Wake Forest, and scoring over 30 points in all four games. And we know it's not about who you play, but when you play them. You want to play teams when they're struggling. You know, for if you look at the NFL, you would have preferred at this point certainly to have played the Patriots back in September or even the Chiefs than either of those teams now. The 49ers, you would have preferred to play them about a month ago than this Sunday. It's all about when you play teams, not necessarily who you play. The Gamecocks may be in the SEC. It's a tougher conference. But again, it's about when you play certain teams, not necessarily who you play. And so when you look at South Carolina, everybody is feeling good about the Gamecocks after becoming bowl eligible, and rightfully so. Just don't take those good feelings and try to apply it to some other outcome. Just because they've made it to a bowl doesn't mean they're ready to beat, say, a ranked team, or in this case, Clemson. For the Gamecocks, those wins recently came against Florida, who just fired their coach and has been in a tailspin, and against Auburn, who will probably lose to Alabama. They're a 20-point underdog tomorrow. And if that's the case, they're in the middle of a four-game losing streak to end the year without their starting quarterback. People are already calling for their head coach, which is way too premature 1 year in. But there's rumors, there's this idea that Brian Harsin may skip town and go take that Washington State opportunity, or maybe a Washington, to just get out of Auburn because the heat is a little too hot in the kitchen. Point being, though, right, you got Auburn during the losing streak at the end of the year as opposed to earlier in the season when they got off to a great start. You got Florida at the end of the year when the team was seemingly already lost and Dan Mullen was out of a job, instead of when they were battling Alabama to one possession in September with hopes of winning the SEC. And in there, you also did have the loss to Missouri on the road, which is a little bit of that reality check. You beat Florida, good win. You lose to Missouri, you beat Auburn. It's a good stretch, but you still have to point out that loss at Missouri where they did not play very well. On the flip side for Clemson, they're coming off a win against number 10 Wake Forest, who had a lot on the line. Wake Forest, with a win, would have wrapped up their spot in the ACC title game, trying to win the conference for the first time in 15 years. Number 10 team in the country, explosive offense, which had its worst day of the season. Even when they beat Florida State a few weeks ago, right? Florida State, it doesn't seem like much, but they are 5-2, with one of those two losses being Clemson. Outside of that game, 5-1 the last 2 months. They're playing better football. This isn't the 0-4 Florida State team from September, who, by the way, gave Notre Dame all they could handle. Clemson beat Louisville. They haven't lost since that game. Clemson's the only team to play Georgia close. If it wasn't for a pick six, would have been a different game. Now, that's going back to week one, but the best team that Clemson faced, Georgia, hung in there better than anybody else. The next best team they faced, Wake Forest, blew them out, played their best performance of the year. Now, for South Carolina, the three SEC teams they have won are a combined 5-17 in the conference. The three teams they've beaten in the SEC have a 5-17 total record in the SEC. They've beaten the two last-place teams in the East, and they've beaten Auburn, who's only ahead of LSU in the West. So three of the four worst teams in the SEC. The records aren't quite the same, right? South Carolina's won six games. Clemson has won eight. Different conferences, different schedules. Not all wins or records are created equal or the same. And for South Carolina, 6-6, going to a bowl, you feel good, but based more off of the expectations of what they had this year. It's what I always say about life. Life is all about expectations. If you keep your expectations low, you're going to live a great life. You'll always be pleasantly surprised, excited, hopeful. If you keep your expectations too high, you're going to have a tough life because you're always going to be disappointed. South Carolina has exceeded the expectations, and just because they have accomplished more than we were anticipating this year doesn't mean they're ready to go up against somebody like a Clemson, even in Clemson's down year. Because then you compare Clemson's expectations. We thought they'd be in the playoff. So based off of that, yeah, Clemson has been really disappointing this year. But if they win their next two games, they'll finish with 10 victories. They'll have finished on a six-game winning streak. To this point, they have played Georgia the toughest. For South Carolina, they've faced ranked teams twice this year. They've lost both games by at least 27 points. Clemson is ranked. In fact, South Carolina last 8 years, 3-26 against ranked teams. Hard to count on them in these type of spots since the heyday almost a decade ago with Steve Spurrier. But at the end of the Steve Spurrier tenure, throughout Will Muschamp, and now this year to begin with Shane Beamer, South Carolina has struggled against top teams in college football. 3-26 against ranked teams over the last 8 years. Right, they win these games 1/10 of the time. Do we think they're ready to compete on this stage with Clemson? It helps that they're at home. They've been much better at home this year and really the last couple of years than on the road. Clemson, meanwhile, they too have been better at home. The Tigers are just 2-3 on the road, and both wins are kind of ugly. And you know it's going to be a great environment tomorrow night. The game sold out earlier this week. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a tough place to go in there and play. That is an advantage for the Gamecocks that it is at home. That's a big advantage. This game would be feeling a lot different if it was at Clemson. South Carolina has a first-year head coach, Shane Beamer, who has done well this year, but still a first-year head coach going up against Dabo, one of the best coaches in college football. The last time South Carolina had a first-year head coach beat Clemson was way back in 1994, but that was also when Clemson had a first-year head coach as well. But the last time that a first-year head coach for the Gamecocks beat Clemson when they had a more experienced coach, you have to go all the way back to 1975 when Clemson won only two games that year. It's a tall task for Shane Beamer in year one to try to beat this coaching staff. South Carolina doesn't have the talent advantage, doesn't have the coaching staff advantage at the moment. They will have the home field advantage, and we'll have to hope that that is enough tomorrow night. If you're South Carolina, the keys to this one, be aggressive. You have nothing to lose. Shane Beamer has been one of the more aggressive coaches in the SEC. On the flip side, Dabo has actually been one of the more conservative coaches in the ACC this year in terms of their decisions and play calls. So you do have an edge in aggression, at least based off of what we've seen so far this year. Maybe Clemson comes out and they're a little more aggressive tomorrow night, but based off of the history and what we've seen this season, South Carolina has been the far more aggressive team than Clemson throughout this year. And that should continue tomorrow night. Be aggressive. Go for it on fourth downs. Maybe if you get the right look, throw a fake punt in there. Right? Some sort of gadget play. Be aggressive, because that can make up the difference. You already have your bowl spot. You're already going to a bowl. You got to your six wins. Of course, you want to beat Clemson, but it's a program you haven't beaten in years. You have nothing to lose. You're an 11.5-point underdog. You're expected to lose this game. And even if you lose, it's still a heck of a season. You're still going bowling anyways. You got nothing to lose tomorrow. You only have something to gain, beating Clemson for the first time in years and getting that seventh regular season victory. I'm not telling you to be dumb, to play out of character, but when you have opportunities, try to take them. Be aggressive. Same thing on defense. For South Carolina to win this game, or special teams, it's probably going to take some sort of play in one of those areas. Maybe a pick six, or you force a few turnovers from DJ, or on special teams, you get a blocked punt, or you get a nice return that gives you a short field that you can punch it in, something along those lines. It's going to take something special from one of the sides of the football to get a victory, to make up that extra score. Maybe you force a couple of, you win the turnover margin by two, right? Teams that win the turnover margin by just one, if you win the turnover margin in football, you win about 65% of the time. If you win the turnover margin by two, you win close to 75% of the time. May take some turnovers tomorrow. Be aggressive in your decision-making, in your defense, even your special teams, in offense. Go for it on fourth downs. You got nothing to lose. And try to get some turnovers from DJ, who we have seen, right? He's vulnerable in that area. You can turn him over. And therefore, if I'm Clemson, on their side of things, I pound it with Will Shipley tomorrow. There have been a lot of stories written this week about how the running back room not only has been better on the field, but better off the field. Will Shipley has shared a quote about that. Early in the year, he said, you know, there's a lot of jealousy. We were all competing with one another. It was kind of a toxic running back room. Some guys have left the program from that running back room since. And Shipley has played really well in two of the last three games. And now you go up against a South Carolina rush defense that is 95th in terms of yards allowed, 99th in terms of yards per carry. It's bottom four in the SEC in stopping the run. If I'm Clemson, I try to make it easy on DJ on the road, who you hope is a little healthier this week than the last couple. And I run it as much as I can with Will Shipley against that defense. And therefore, you also can try to avoid the turnover game. And on the flip side, for South Carolina trying to keep up, they're 101st in offense this year. Clemson's number 6 in defense. Goes back to my point about being aggressive. You're going to need some explosive plays. You're going to need to hit some home runs. You're going to need to find a way to score some points on this defense and try to keep up with whatever Clemson does on the other side. You feel better about South Carolina compared to their expectations this year than you do Clemson compared to their expectations. But does it mean South Carolina's ready to step up and win this game for the first time in years? To beat a ranked team for just the fourth time in the last 8 years? I'm not so sure. I still don't like this matchup for the Gamecocks. The thing I like most is the fact that they are at home. That's a big advantage. Here was Roman Harper, who played in the SEC, played a long time in the NFL, now works for the SEC Network. He sees it differently than me. Roman Harper on the SEC Network is going with the Gamecocks and picking them to win. Forget the 11-point spread. He thinks it's the Gamecocks who will win by double digits.
Roman, I'm going to go to you first. What are you feeling about this game? What do you think happens for South Carolina if they get the win over Clemson?
If? You mean win.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were about to stand up.
Put his feet down on that.
South Carolina, I'm calling my shot. South Carolina is going to win this game.
Okay.
And they might win by double digits. And I mean barely double digits, but they will happen. You got to understand what they're putting into this, all right? My neighbor, his son goes to South Carolina. And you know what he told his dad? You know what, Dad? I can't make Thanksgiving but so long because I got to get back to Columbia and get ready to celebrate and be ready to celebrate with my teammates and the rest of my classmates when we go in there and beat Clemson. They have to mark this game on the schedule for many more weeks now. So now, back to what the real game is. Josh Mann, Jaquandre Wright, that is how they will do it, all right? You have to run the football, be specific in the way you do it, and now Jason Brown, protect the football. Protect the football, protect the football. Be ready to go downtown and take your shots versus this organized chaos defense of Clemson where they call plays and they think you're ready on that situation, but that is when you take advantage of them. Second down, play action passing game.
Not
what
if.
What do you think about that?
Not if, when.
When.
And
both,
after they
both
win.
Both feet went down. And
so me and Lingle,
no
we over here dancing.
No cap. South Carolina over Clemson.
No cap.
Okay.
I'm calling
no
cap.
Cap.
I'm calling. Slapping the no cap on the South Carolina over Clemson thing.
That was Roman Harper's prediction and take on this game tomorrow. I don't quite see it the same way. I give South Carolina certainly a chance to win the game. If any team wins by double digits, I do think it's the team favored by double digits. But to me, for Clemson, comes down to being able to run the football and take care of the football. And for South Carolina, be aggressive. Leave it all out there, which is what Roman was saying. Right? Take some play action shots on second down. Right? Be aggressive. Make sure you take care of the football if you're Jason Brown. But take some shots out there. Be aggressive. Go for it. Why not? You have nothing to lose. DJ has been prone to the turnovers. And on the other side for Brown, against a defense like this, who's still a young, inexperienced quarterback when it comes to the SEC, and really their third-string quarterback, right? Against that defense, you try to force him into some mistakes as well. It's very simple analysis, but usually it's accurate when predicting football that it usually just comes down to the turnovers. Which one of these quarterbacks will do a better job of taking care of the football and making some big plays? We'll find out tomorrow night. And we'll continue to preview and break down the game throughout the afternoon. In fact, speaking of quarterbacks, Perry Orth will join us next hour, at the top of next hour. He played quarterback in this matchup, and he'll join us to break it down from the South Carolina side in just over 40 minutes. And then we know for Clemson, it's been about their defense, and LeVon Kirkland knows a thing or two about defense and playing for Clemson. He'll join us in the final hour at 2 o'clock to preview this matchup from the Clemson side of things. But when we come back, we had plenty of games yesterday on Thanksgiving. Two of them turned out to be very good in the NFL. Also had the Egg Bowl last night. We'll break down what we saw yesterday in the NFL on Thanksgiving and preview what you should expect to see this weekend in the NFL. And we'll do it when we come back. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You're doing a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You're always getting big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Dalton that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours. Anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, we'll break down the NFL slate from yesterday and get ready for the NFL games this weekend here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Of course, we'll continue to get ready for the rivalry games in college football throughout this weekend, most notably the Palmetto Bowl. And here, a song I imagine we'll have more themed songs throughout the afternoon, but from Lee Bryce, who originally went to Clemson, right, on a football scholarship.
He was a long snapper.
Yeah, how about that? Orange Empire, you said that was the name of this, right? There you go. I'll give you my thoughts on tomorrow's game to start the afternoon. You can catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast, we'll continue to break down Clemson and South Carolina and preview that one throughout the afternoon. Perry Orth will join us next hour. Levon Kirkland will join us in the final hour this afternoon. But we had a full slate of NFL games yesterday on Thanksgiving. Now, I told you in leading up to Thanksgiving, on paper they may not be, you know, some of the greatest matchups, but I thought they were pitting a lot of pretty even teams with one another, and so I thought it could lead to some intriguing games in terms of the closeness or the final score. And we got that in the first two games. Came down to last second field goals, and then the Bills handed it to the Saints. So as we always do on a Friday, we come in and we preview the games for the NFL weekend. Now, we just had three yesterday, so let's start by going back and breaking down those three, and then we get into the preview for week 12 of the NFL season. Let's run through the games.
It's time to earn some cash.
No. We'll get to my picks later.
It's Luke's Picks of the Week.
Great cash, homie.
We'll get to my picks later on, including the Clemson-South Carolina game. In the bits folder, all the games that we run through for the NFL weekend. We'll run through the three games from yesterday. I'll give you my reactions and takeaways from that, and then preview all the games this Sunday in the NFL. Let's hit it.
Chicago Bears at Detroit Lions.
Well, Andy Dalton became the first Chicago Bear quarterback to have over 300 yards in 18 games. Led them on that winning drive. And for Matt Nagy, right, it's a stay of execution, at least for now, where he won't be fired. Those reports were denied throughout the week. Then he beats the Lions. Hard to move on from him at that point. You don't feel great about either one of those teams coming out of that game yesterday, though. Right, I mean, the Bears won, but barely, against a winless Lions team. And for the Lions, they remain winless. They're 0-5 now in one-possession games this year. And when you struggle in one-possession games, that comes down to a couple of things. Number one, bad luck sometimes. You just get a bad bounce. Number two, coaching. Number three, quarterback. Your quarterback's not dynamic enough to make those big plays to try to win the game. Probably is the case with Jared Goff. But if you watched the game yesterday, and if you've watched the Lions throughout this year, I do like Dan Campbell. I like his energy. The guys play for him just about every week. But they even said on the broadcast yesterday, right, he's learning on the job. Well, he was an interim coach before, an interim head coach. He's been a longtime assistant, and now he's a head coach with Detroit. I don't know if you're the Lions, if you should hire somebody who has to learn on the job. And we saw again yesterday that blunder with the timeout. Very conservative as well for a winless team, allowing the Bears to go down and, you know, to give them the position to go down for the winning field goal. And the Lions now 0-5 in these one-possession games. They play tough, right? Half of their games they've had every chance to win. But when a team loses all of those games, that's what I said earlier about the Vikings. Right? I put it on the coach, too conservative, Kirk Cousins. Maybe not good enough to get the winning drive at the end of the game. Same idea with the Lions. The coach makes a lot of mistakes. Jared Goff's not good enough to go on these winning drives. And the Lions remain winless, a tradition unlike any other, watching Detroit come up short on Thanksgiving, crushing those fans' hopes and dreams. That was a great Thanksgiving, I'm sure, once again in Detroit yesterday.
Las Vegas Raiders at Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, how about Charleston native John Simpson? Did you see him get sucker punched after the game when the two teams were out on the field after the Raiders won? Simpson played for Fort Dorchester, then went to Clemson, was drafted in the fourth round by the Raiders. Having a pretty good year on the offensive line. Some cowboy, you know, kind of clocked him with a bit of a sucker punch on the field, started a little bit of a brouhaha after the game. Big win for the Raiders. They needed this win to stay alive. They haven't been playing well. You know, I think the most interesting stat to come out of this game is that the Raiders are 6-0 when Derek Carr has over 300 yards, 0-5 when he doesn't this year. This team is on Carr's shoulders. And we thought that'd be the case coming in. The defense has actually been a little bit better than I was anticipating. They found some pass rush. But I figure this defense is not going to be very good. You do have Josh Jacobs in the backfield, but it's going to be all on the offense. And it has been mostly on the offense and mostly on Derek Carr. But for the Raiders, you know, usually you see numbers like that, it's about running. Because what do you do when you have the lead? You run the football. So people always point to these stats, and they're very misleading. And they'll say, the Cowboys are 5-0, and they run it 30 times or more. Yeah, because you build a lead, and then you run the football. Right? It's not necessarily one leading to the other. Sometimes you have that backwards. But when it comes to passing, when you have a stat like that, 6-0 over 300 yards, 0-5 under, well, a lot of times, right, when you get a lead, you don't have to throw it so much. So for the Raiders to be that so reliant on Derek Carr, or that number, that stat shows how reliant they are, that he needs to throw them to victories. He did it yesterday, and that Cowboys defense didn't look so hot without a couple of their pass rushers. On the other side, Dak Prescott did play pretty well, but still without their top two targets. Dallas lost again. They've lost 3 out of 4. Dak played well yesterday, but him and the offense haven't been as good as they were prior to his injury. It also doesn't help when you're missing those two targets. Now they have lost 3 out of 4. They have just a 2-game lead over the Eagles, and the Eagles have a stretch coming up where they play the Giants twice. They play the Washington football team. They got the Jets. The Eagles have the second easiest schedule the rest of the way. This division may not be over just yet. The Eagles are clawing back into it. The Cowboys are fading a little bit, and the Raiders saved their season for the time being with a big road win on a short week yesterday.
Buffalo Bills at New Orleans Saints.
This game was ugly. You know, the night games usually aren't that great on Thanksgiving, and which fits well because I imagine by that point you're falling asleep on the couch anyways. Maybe you're all footballed out, right? You're doing something else. If you didn't watch much of this game last night, well, you certainly didn't miss anything. Josh Allen didn't play great in the first half, had 2 more interceptions. I believe he now has 7 interceptions in the last 5 games. The Bills still have a lot of holes. But when you go against the Saints, you're able to not play very well and still win by 25. For New Orleans, it's tough to judge them. They've lost 4 in a row, but they're down to their third-string quarterback. They're down to their third-string running back. They don't have their number one wide receiver. It's hard to expect much from this Saints team right now. The 6 points they scored yesterday at home were the fewest since 2002, which, by the way, was against the Panthers when they lost 10-6 in the final game of 2002. And for Sean Payton, it was his first loss on a holiday. He was previously 6-0 when coaching on holidays. But again, yesterday, and maybe moving forward now at New Orleans, it's tough to judge. I picked them to finish under 500 this year because I didn't think they'd have a lot of talent. I didn't think they were that good of a team. I call them this year's Patriots. You lose Tom Brady, right? The Patriots took a step back last year. They went 7-9. The Saints, you lose Drew Brees, takes a little while to adjust. Trevor Siemian, obviously not the answer. Jameis Winston, out for the year. Taysom Hill is banged up. The Saints are in a bad way. They've lost 4 in a row. We could probably start forgetting about them in the NFC. Meanwhile, for Buffalo, that was a victory you needed to get right. On the road, short week, handed it to New Orleans. They hadn't been playing well of late. You get that win, you start to feel better, and they certainly need to because now they're looking up at New England in the AFC East. That's our breakdown
Atlanta
of yesterday.
Falcons at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, now we preview the games this Sunday. For the Falcons, this is the Bills, this is an opportunity to get right as well. Now they have to go on the road to Jacksonville, but it's the Jaguars, right? The 2-8 Jags. The Falcons haven't been playing well whatsoever the last 2 weeks. They haven't been able to score points, but the Jags have a bottom 3 pass defense. So here's a chance for Matt Ryan and company to try to get right. But what an ugly game this is. These two teams have combined to score 30 points total between the two of them over the last 2 weeks. And instead of focusing on Matt Ryan, I think really the focus is on Trevor Lawrence tomorrow. 0 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Only 1 quarterback since 2000 has started and has done it for four straight games. That was Jacoby Brissett. So Trevor Lawrence could become the second quarterback in over 20 years to go four games without a passing touchdown, starting four straight games without a passing touchdown. He hasn't had a pass over 25 yards in 5 weeks now. This is a chance for these two teams. They haven't been playing well. Which quarterback's going to step up? Because they're going up against bad defenses. And both quarterbacks have not been playing great of late. These offenses have been ugly. But don't expect a lot of points. Eight of Jacksonville's last 10 games have gone under. They haven't been able to score lately. It's going to be in Jacksonville, you know, outdoors instead of indoors in Atlanta. Ugly game. Falcons, this is a must win to get feeling good about yourselves against the 2-8 Jaguars.
New York Jets at Houston Texans.
Another game that, you know, not much to see here. Both teams 2-8. The Jets go to the Texans. It's the return of Zach Wilson. So that's the key here. All right, Zach Wilson has not played the last four games, and the last time we saw him, he had three turnovers. The Jaguars have the Jets have a league worst turnover margin of minus 15. The Houston Texans actually have a positive turnover differential. So that's the big key here. The Texans take care of the football. Zach Wilson has not. What does he look like in his return to the lineup? For the Jets, that's what this whole season is about. Similar to the Gamecocks, I said you have two things to answer for South Carolina, same for the Jets coming into this year. Do you have the right guy at head coach? Do you have the right guy at quarterback? And jury is still out on both for New York. You have to see something from Zach Wilson. And for the Jets, you have to do whatever is best for Zach Wilson. If you think the best thing for his development is keeping him on the bench, you should do that. If you think the best thing for him is playing him, you should do that. He'll be playing Sunday against the Texans. Let's see how he does. We need to see something a little more out of the number two pick in the draft this year, starting with taking care of the football.
Tennessee Titans at New England Patriots.
This is one of the more interesting matchups of the weekend. You know, like from a betting perspective or just trying to handicap the game, you have the Patriots who have won, what is it, five in a row? And you have the Titans who are coming off an embarrassing loss against the Texans. So if you listen to the show and you listen to my picks, you know I love teams in these situations like the Titans. It's a buy-low opportunity. You have the Patriots coming off a series of victories. The Titans are just embarrassed. I'm sure the public is going to hammer New England. They're favored by 6.5. So at least from a betting perspective, if not the game outright, this is one of those bounce-back spots for the Titans. Now, they do go on the road to New Orleans. On paper, it's not a great matchup for Tennessee. But I think what we saw last week, don't take that and try to apply that moving forward. As I always say, it's a week-to-week business. I think the Titans will play better on Sunday. But here's the issue for them. For Tennessee, obviously, they're without Derrick Henry. They just cut Adrian Peterson 3 weeks after signing him. This running game is an issue for the Titans. And so when they can't run the football, they have to throw the football. And Ryan Tannehill had four interceptions this past week. He's bottom six in quarterback rating this year. The issue is he now goes on the road to Bill Belichick and a Patriots defense that has the most interceptions in the league. So that's the concern here. The Titans may not be able to run the football on Sunday. They may have to throw it a little bit more. And when they do, you're going up against a really good defense that takes the football away. The Patriots have outscored opponents 70-0 over the last couple of weeks. They have not allowed a single point in 19 straight possessions. So it's a tough matchup for the Titans. And by the way, for the Titans, that offense, going back to that passing game, A.J. Brown, who's been banged up, he's gone three straight games without a 20-yard catch for the second time this year. Without Derrick Henry, this Titans offense is not explosive. It's not all that dynamic. You have to rely on Ryan Tannehill too much. But Tennessee is 5-0 outright as an underdog this year. They're 5-0 straight up, winning games when they're an underdog. And they are a big underdog on the road here. I imagine they'll play better than they did this past week. So on paper, it's not a good matchup for Tennessee, but this is a good bounce-back spot. Plus, you have Mike Vrabel going up against his former coach. It's one of the more interesting games on Sunday, and I think we will see a better Titans team. But, boy, the Patriots are playing really good right now.
Philadelphia Eagles at New York Giants.
This goes back to what I was saying about the Eagles trying to catch the Cowboys. Now, this game is on the road against the Giants, but the Eagles are favored. They're currently, right now, two games behind the Cowboys. You win on Sunday, you're a game and a half behind Dallas. And the Eagles have the second easiest schedule the rest of the way. The Eagles are playing really well of late, beating up on maybe some bad teams, but how good are the Giants? And the key to Philadelphia has been Nick Sirianni. Credit Nick Sirianni, first-year head coach, for adapting. A lot of coaches won't. They become stubborn. Now, the fact that Sirianni's a first-year guy probably leads to him being more willing to adapt. because he's not set in his ways. He can't say, well, this is what has gotten me here. I'm not going to change. Nothing's really gotten him. He's in his first year as a head coach. He's got to get there. He's got to get where he wants to be. So in the first half of the season so far, they were throwing the football two-thirds of the time, and they were struggling. Now they've started to run the football two-thirds of their times on offense, and they've won more often than they haven't of late. Right? They've turned their season around, and they have a top-five rushing offense since Jalen Hurts became the starter going back to last year. So this Eagles team, they can run the football when they choose to. Now they're banged up at the running back position. Jordan Howard is out. Miles Sanders, you know, has been injured this year. But even just with Jalen Hurts, having him back there is a real weapon in this run game. On the flip side for the Giants, hey, they fired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator. Let's see if it makes a difference on Sunday. You're at home. Freddie Kitchens will be calling the plays, going up against a team that does have a losing record. Let's see what the Giants can do offensively on Sunday. Daniel Jones is continuing to play for his job, and Joe Judge now, right, that's the last-ditch effort. That's passing off the attention to somebody else, the blame to somebody else when you fire your coordinators. But then eventually you run out of people to blame. So Joe Judge, even in his second year, right, the pressure's on him as well. We'll see which team plays better on Sunday in this NFC East matchup.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Indianapolis Colts.
This is another one of the more interesting matchups of the weekend. Now, the Buccaneers have the number one rush defense. Jonathan Taylor would be my MVP right now, running back for the Colts. So that's the matchup to watch. The number one running back right now against the number one defense. And if the Buccaneers can take away that run, then it's on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has been really good this year in large part because you've been able to have that complementary offense. You've been able to play off of the run. What happens if it's on Carson Wentz's shoulders and he has to go win the game for you without much help from the running back? That's where he could be more prone to turnovers. But Carson Wentz this year has six games with two or more passing touchdowns and zero interceptions, and only three quarterbacks have done that this year: Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Carson Wentz. He is playing really well. But does that change against a good Buccaneers team with Tom Brady on the other side and potentially a slow day for Jonathan Taylor? The Buccaneers, though, not very good on the road. From a betting perspective, they have not covered a single spread on the road this year, which means they've underachieved on the road. They're favored on the road against Indianapolis. How well are they going to play on Sunday? This is one of the better games to watch as well in the NFL this weekend.
Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati Bengals.
I really like the Steelers in this game. I'll give you my picks later on. But the Steelers on the road against Cincinnati, this is where Mike Tomlin is great. A divisional game, they're an underdog. This is where they rally, go out there and play well. And Ben Roethlisberger played really well on Sunday. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks struggle when they come back from time off because of COVID for one reason or another, whether it's because of the health issues or just simply not practicing for a week. Ben Roethlisberger came back and played maybe his best game of the year Sunday against the Chargers. And the Bengals have not been playing so hot lately. So I like the Steelers to go on the road. This is the classic Mike Tomlin spot. Underdog on the road in the division. You're going up against a young quarterback in Joe Burrow with your really good defense. I like Pittsburgh in this game to bounce back, and it's an important game in that AFC North.
Carolina Panthers at Miami Dolphins.
So the Panthers go on the road to Miami. Cam Newton will make his second start. Last week, the Panthers lost to the Washington football team, and the big issue really was it was Cam Newton's first start. He had been with the team for a week, and at the end of the game, the two-minute drill, they had two chances. He took a sack on one fourth down, threw short on the other fourth down. It was clearly a case of Cam Newton still getting comfortable at the offense. Will he be more comfortable now another week in, this time going on the road to Miami? On the flip side, the Dolphins have been playing better, especially on defense. So this could be a bit of a good test for Cam Newton on the road against a Dolphins team and defense that has been playing better of late. On the flip side, well, the Panthers have the highest sack percentage in the NFL over the past month. The Dolphins have given up the sixth most sacks. I say it every week when we talk about the Dolphins. This continues to be a tryout for Tua trying to save his job. This could be a tough matchup for him tomorrow, with the pass rush from the Panthers. We'll see how well Tua plays this week against Carolina.
Los Angeles Chargers at Denver Broncos.
I like the Broncos in this game. The Broncos are a home dog. Teddy Bridgewater is really good as an underdog. Look, Denver is only one game behind the Chargers. And if it wasn't for that quarterback spot, you know, this Broncos team, I like the rest of that roster. They got all the pieces. So I had high hopes for the Chargers, but these two teams aren't all that different when it comes to talent. Now the Broncos are at home, outdoors in the altitude. You have Teddy Bridgewater, who plays really well as an underdog. Justin Herbert's coming off his best game in a couple of weeks, but he's going against one of the best defenses in the league. This is an important game for the wild card in that division in the AFC. I like the Broncos at home against the Chargers, mostly because they are home in this divisional game. Bridgewater is good as an underdog. He gets rid of the football quickly. That will do well against the Chargers' pass rush. This is a big spot for both these teams, and I think the Broncos have the edge at home.
Minnesota Vikings at San Francisco 49ers.
This may actually be the most impactful game of the weekend. Both teams are 5-5, trying to win their third straight. Both teams playing better. Both teams competing for a wild card spot in the NFC. If the Niners win this game, they already have the tiebreaker over the Eagles, who are right behind them in that wild card. They'll have the tiebreaker over the Vikings. And then you look at, like, the Rams right now are a team they're battling with for the wild card spot. They have currently the tiebreaker over them. So this would be big for San Francisco. Suddenly you start to own a lot of tiebreakers in a very tight NFC picture. The Vikings have to go on the road to San Francisco. I'm a Vikings fan. I'm expecting the letdown. The Vikings are down three defensive linemen against a good rushing attack of San Francisco on the road. They've beaten two good teams. Back-to-back weeks, the Vikings have won against teams with winning records. And both weeks, the Vikings were an underdog. Do we trust Minnesota three straight weeks? Could beat three good teams as an underdog? I think their time's kind of running out. Plus, Minnesota, the last two trips to San Francisco have been blowouts under Mike Zimmer. They have not played well there for whatever reason. So as a Vikings fan, I expect the worst, but this is one of the biggest games of the weekend. Two teams that both need a win for playoff purposes in the NFC.
Los Angeles Rams at Green Bay Packers.
Obviously a huge game here. The big storyline is for Aaron Rodgers and that toe. What does that look like? And for the Rams, they have not played well the last couple of weeks since losing Robert Woods. They're coming off a bye. You have LaFleur against McVay, who know one another. You have the Rams going outdoors to Green Bay. We'll see what the weather is like on Sunday. And Matt Stafford has never been all that great at Lambeau Field. A little bit different now when he's got this roster with the Rams, but they still have some things to figure out on offense without Robert Woods and breaking in OBJ. This is a big-time game on Sunday, and the Rams probably need to win more. It's a race for the top seed in the NFC. The Packers are coming off a loss, but the Rams lost a couple before their bye. I'm very intrigued to see which quarterback plays better and which team can respond better on Sunday.
Cleveland Browns at Baltimore Ravens.
Browns and Ravens, this is Sunday night football. Neither team's quarterback is 100% right now. I don't know if Lamar is even going to play, and if Baker Mayfield play, I don't know if Baker should even play. Sunday night, big game in this division. For Baker Mayfield on the road against Baltimore in that defense, you got to see something more from him. If Lamar Jackson does play, he's 4-1 in his career as a starter against the Browns. He has at least three touchdowns in the last four games. So this really, to me, comes down to which quarterback is healthier and out there. Baker Mayfield has not been 100%. Lamar Jackson couldn't even play this past week. If Lamar is good to go, the Ravens win. If not, the Browns, you got to find a way to win this game on the road against a backup quarterback.
Seattle Seahawks at Washington football team.
This is the Monday night football game. Russell Wilson has not been good since coming back from that finger injury. I think he came back a little too soon. Now they go on the road to a Washington football team that's been playing better. And they've been playing better because Taylor Heineke's been playing better. He had the best QBR in the NFL this past week. The Washington football team, their staff sat down with Heineke and said, hey, you've been a little too careful this year. We want you going back to that aggressive gunslinger like you were previously. That's what we like out of you. And he's been a little more aggressive the last couple of weeks. He's been playing better. So too has the team. I like this matchup for Washington at home against Seattle. The Seahawks are a mess right now. And if the Seahawks lose, they'll be 3-8. I've said before, this is I think will be Pete Carroll's final year there in Seattle. I think the Seahawks are heading to a bunch of changes. And no 3-7 team, I should say one 3-7 team, has made the playoff. So the Seahawks at 3-7, their season probably already over. But really, if they lose Monday night on the road to Washington, 3-8, then you can really put a fork in them. And there you go, our preview of this weekend in the NFL. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour one. I will give you some of the most interesting games overall in this football weekend, and we'll continue to preview the Palmetto Bowl. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
I could hardly wait. Wake up this morning on game day. So soon as I heard that rooster crow, I set off on the road. Straight down I 20 to the capital city where the pretty Carolina girls go.
Wrapping up hour one here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio with some Patrick Davis, who went to the University of South Carolina, was a history major there, and I'm sure knows the history far too well of this series. But Gamecock fans hopeful South Carolina can get the first win over Clemson in a number of years. As we play these theme songs for the Palmetto Bowl tomorrow. And I'll continue to preview it throughout the afternoon. Perry Orth will join us in about 10 minutes to break things down from the South Carolina side of things as he played in this game. And we'll see if the Gamecocks can find enough offensively to win the game tomorrow at home. Hey, it is Black Friday. We're happy to be with you here today, and hopefully if you're driving around out there getting whatever you want. Right, this is like the start of Christmas now, especially Christmas shopping. You want to go out there and get those discounted things for those in your family for the holidays. And so hopefully, you know, if you are participating, you find whatever you want. It's not too crazy out there. We have found some people to serve as our Black Friday check-in reporters throughout the afternoon. We'll check in with one each hour to see how things are going around there, around town out there for Black Friday. Let's check in with our first Black Friday correspondent here this afternoon.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Reporting live from Walmart, this is Walton Gobbles. It's actually been pretty tame here so far today, for a Black Friday. A long line developed over by the kitchen section as people were trying to get a jump on next year's Thanksgiving already. Some folks even waited 3 hours in line just to get a discounted turkey baster for next year. You know, today is the day to get your discounted Thanksgiving item. And turkey basters are going for 3% off today. But really, that's been about it. Oh, and a woman gave birth in the back of the store while waiting in line for a discounted toaster. Yep, right by the entertainment section, right next to the DVDs, where you can get Made in Manhattan for just $4.99, today only. It's quite a deal. All right, back to you, Mike Greenberg. What? Who's that?
All right, thank you, Walton Gobbler. Things seem to be somewhat tame out there, but outside of childbirth in the back of the section there. We'll continue to check in with the correspondents throughout Black Friday this afternoon to see how things are going around town. I hear because of the pandemic and there's a shortage on so many different items that it could be a little bit of a different Black Friday than we're used to. However, so far, things seem pretty normal over there at the Target this afternoon. And of course, with online shopping, maybe you're just better off shopping at home and getting your items instead of going in the store and waiting around all afternoon, especially if you're, you know, close to 9 months pregnant. South Carolina, Clemson tomorrow night for the Palmetto Bowl. Perry Orth will join us at the top of next hour here in just a few moments as we preview this thing from the South Carolina side. And we're coming up a little bit later on, we'll also rank the rivalry games this weekend in terms of most intriguing or level of importance. Clemson and South Carolina is up there. It's more intriguing than it has been the last couple of years, but doesn't carry the same importance as a lot of these rivalry games when it comes to certainly the playoff picture or what it means for the picture of college football here moving forward. We got quite a few games this weekend that are very important in that area.